Hello, this is BitNote. We'll be talking about video games and video game music with me, David Collins. Hope you enjoy. Well, to be honest, I'm a little underprepared for this show. I would like to blame myself, but unfortunately I think instead I'll blame the guy who stole my bike and screwed up the rest of my day. Yes, I know I could have recorded it earlier, but then again, that's actually blaming myself. For those of you who haven't had their bicycle stolen, let me just tell you that it is an extremely unpleasant experience. And I would like to say that I wish even more an unpleasant experience to those who actually steal them. Now, I suppose it's not like me to ill-wish things on other people. So instead, I think I will focus entirely on the subject of this show, which shall be bicycles. Yes, in my last minute, I have made sure to collect songs only from video games that have bicycles in them to celebrate the entire episode of Bicycles in Video Games. So, for our first track, it's from a game that has something to do with bicycles indeed. In fact, I think it's one of the best implementations bicycles have ever had in video games, but it has also got something slightly more in common with the events of today in my life. I'll play the track and let you figure it out. Yes, that was the theme from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, composed by Michael Hunter and the game developed by Rockstar North. Yes, that game has so many tracks by so many famous artists, and I chose damn Michael Hunter, who just made the damn theme tune, was, I think, the only person who actually created music for the game rather than just licensed it off. So, in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, like many Grand Theft Auto games, it is a sandbox where you run around and run amok. You can steal vehicles, including bicycles. You cannot apparently steal red LaPierre bicycles, which Frank from Damn Commuters, but actually, the bicycle is one of the first items in the game you can steal. You see, every time they have a new Grand Theft Auto game, they throw in more stuff and say, oh, look at all this. This excites you. And bicycles was one of those things for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Unfortunately, when Grand Theft Auto 4 came out, they said, screw bicycles. We've got so much more realism. And I was going, damn it, where the heck are the bicycles? The bicycles are really actually a lot of fun in Grand Theft Auto. Keep in mind, this is a game where you can often be chased along the highway by a squad of police cars. So while running in a fast, sporty sports car is a fun thing to do, you know, come on, have a bit of originality. There's nothing that says escaping from the police and escaping from a squadron of police cars and police choppers than by cycling on a bicycle. And surprisingly, it works pretty well. I mean, for one thing, the police cars always try to swerve up and swerve in front of you, you know, like if you were in a car and ram you off the road. But they can't seem to quite grasp the fact that a bicycle moves a little slower than a car, so they always tend to fly in front of you, giving you plenty of time to avoid them or even just duck behind them. So it's a pretty great weapon. It's a pretty great vehicle. And you can go, of course, into alleys. But, of course, you can do that with motorcycles. And the fun thing, you can jump. Yes, you can crouch. You can pummel the accelerator and just cycle as fast as you can. And there's a low-lying wall. And you'll crouch down. And you'll jump right over the wall on the bicycle and just skate on. There is literally no other vehicle in the entire Grand Theft Auto franchise that can do that sort of stuff. And it is cool. There is just, oh boy, That is how you should just have bicycles in video games. You just make them fun, you make them really exciting. And do you want to actually know something else? It made your character healthier. Now, I know what you're saying. Why the heck does any video game have, you know, a health character? I mean, of course, every character's health has in, you know, if you, every time they get hit, their health deteriorates until they die, and every time they eat a candy bar, your health goes up, which is kind of goes against natural nutrition. But the fact of the matter, no, this would actually have health as in you would get fat if you ate too much fast food. And if you were too fat, you wouldn't be able to run as fast. Yes, I'm not making this up. It was the only Grand Theft Auto video game that actually did this, surprisingly enough. But you could get fat, and if you got too fat, you'd have to go to the gym. And you know, I'm not making this up. You would go into the gym, and you could like lift weight or run on this exercise bicycle. Or yeah, it had all these stats for different things, like how well you were at weapons and how committed you are to your current relationships. I'm still not making this up, but bicycles, actually, if you cycled a bicycle, it was one of the best ways of getting fit. Just like in real life, one of the few, for a game that tries to pretend it's so realistic, that's actually one of the few times that actually, yes, cycling a bicycle made your character healthier. And so it was a great way to get around, just like in real life. And the more you cycled, you'd have fun, you'd get there, and you'd be really, really healthy as well. And then you'd get shot by the police officers, and your health would go down. So what you'd do is you'd go into a fast food shop, buy some fast food that would make your health go up, but your fat go up as well. You see, this is where it gets a little confusing. It had the it's still your health, but there was also the fat. So eating would increase your health, but it would also increase your fat. And by exercising, it would reduce your fat, which means it's increasing your health, except your health isn't being increased. It's two different values. Health was never treated realistically in video games most of the time. Most video games, you do crazy things just to regain your health. Okay. But starting off on a note, and starting off in a game where you steal things steal bicycles is, maybe this is karmic kickback. I was going around stealing bicycles in virtual environments and didn't think of the consequences, and so karma is coming back and having someone steal my bicycle in real life to teach me, ha, now do you think it's so funny to go around stealing lives? Now aren't you ashamed to do these sort of things in virtual worlds? And I'm going like, you know, it's not like anyone was owning those bikes in the virtual world, but whatever. Okay, maybe I should have been a little more considerate and... But, you know, I kind of did some... When you're talking about Grand Theft Auto video games, they are worse things you can... Let's not talk about it, because if karma starts taking revenge for absolutely every terrible thing I've done in a video game, I'm in some serious deep stuff right now. Whew. Right. Next video game. So that was Grand Theft Auto, and we'll move on to another game that... little classic game, but a little more to do with bicycles. Thank you. Right. So I figured since we were talking about bicycles and video games, I'd take it right back to one of the earliest and most popular games to use bicycles. That was Paperboy. The Paperboy theme by Mark Kuczki, that was developed by and from the game Paperboy by Atari Games. Mark has done a lot of video game stuff. He made famously the Ghosts and Goblins theme and done some work in Space Harrier and a lot of other games. So cool juice to him. He's made a lot of classic game tunes. Paperboy, yes, you are a paperboy and you are on a bicycle. Yet another bicycle. You would cycle along, and it was a fairly straightforward game, but essentially you would go up the street, and on your left there'd be houses, and every time you clicked the fire button, you'd throw a newspaper to the left. So what you had to do is you had to cycle up the street. You couldn't turn around. You were still going in the same direction. You could go faster, slower, or veer a little to the left and right, but you couldn't turn around. So you had to throw a newspaper into the mailbox of every single house that was there. Now, this might sound a little boring, but it had problems. For a start, you had to figure out where you were. I mean, if you were a long distance away from the mailbox, you'd have to throw it at just the right time, and if you were close, it was easier. But that's come from the difficulty. Pretty much everything was trying to kill you. There were dogs, there were people skipping on the streets, there were tires, I swear. Tires were rolling out of garages, and like they would, if they hit you, and it was a pretty unforgiving game, I have to say, because pretty much anything, if you cycled into the gutter, you'd crash and you'd lose a life. If you hit the curb, I mean, there was a curb going the whole way up, and you had to make split decisions whether you'd cycle onto the curb and deal with all the obstacles on the pavement, or go onto the road and have to deal by being smashed in the face by an oncoming motorist. So in a lot of ways, it's like cyclist's worst nightmare. Pretty much everything is trying to kill you. Anything can trip you up, and everything can smash into you. And there were pretty crazy things. I think there were like jugglers and clowns and stuff. And at the end of it, there was even a full-on obstacle course where you had to jump over water and a ramp and all this sort of stuff. I mean, it was quite a game. It was fun. It was challenging. And you had to make sure you kept throwing the newspapers in all the right houses, because if you missed a few houses, then the next time you did that level again, that house would have cancelled their subscription. And when you run out of houses, obviously that is not a good thing. Paperboy was for like one of those games that's popular on all the platforms: Amiga, Mega Drive, Nintendo, arcade, blah 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 blah. It's a classic. And I think it represents a great thing about games. They can take something that's mundane, yes, but that expresses something about us, that it takes a new idea, and it's in turning that into a game. I mean, the problem with a lot of games, and this isn't a huge criticism, well, it is a criticism, but it's a lot of games are based off of games, so you're dealing with abstractions upon abstractions. And Yuji Naka, who was famously in Sonic Team, did a lot of program work for Sonic, once said, "Look to real life, see what inspires you, and try to take that into the game itself." And I mean, a lot of people, especially earlier game developers, took that to heart. I mean, there were games about cutting lawns, and I mean, Metal Gear Solid, just, I know that's a bit of a later game, but Metal Gear Solid, which is all about espionage and stealth and, you know, high stakes dealing with, you know, infiltrating a group of armed soldiers and not being seen, that was actually inspired by the producer's games of hide and seek when he was a kid. He just loved playing hide and seek, and he expressed a lot of that in the game. So in this case, Paperboy, you know, delivering paper is a pretty standard thing, and you know, you see the movie, those American movies where they just take the paper and throw it at the door, and someone just decided to make a game at it. You know, you have to go along, throw the papers in, and it was a fun game and a huge success. So, yes, to any people out there who in making games, try to take some mundane or fun or whatever. I mean, Dinner Dash is another classic example. But just take some mundane or interesting or whatever aspect of human life and make a game out of it, because who knows? The great thing about these sort of games is people instantly know how it works, even if they're not familiar with games. People instantly understand the scenario, and they just have fun. And usually it takes a few, and whenever they screw up or whatever, they just laugh it off, because when a game sort of relates to reality, it gives just a new dimension to it. But okay, enough about my philosophizing of the context in which video games find themselves in. Let's play another track. Oh, just to let you know, this is from quite a game and doesn't have a bicycle specifically, but it has pedals and it most certainly counts. And that was Cliff Rock by Yoshi Arakawa from Prop Cycle by Namco. Now, Prop Cycle is a fun game. I actually haven't played it that much. But, okay, here's the thing. It was an arcade game, right? That's the reason I didn't play it that much. You can't really own arcade games. But it was an arcade game that actually had a replica of a bicycle with pedals in front of it. And in the screen, you were basically... There's a story, and you're basically flying a pedal-powered flying machine through the sky, bursting these great big red bubbles. Yes, this is like awesome, because when you were sitting at the arcade games, I mean, for a start, there's the flying aspect. Then, of course, there's the fact that there's got this whole, like, you know, fun contraption. I love those sort of games, and the fun, and the world was like bright and colorful, and there was a storyline about a guy pressing a button he shouldn't have that suddenly caused all these cities to fly up into the sky for no readily apparent reason, and apparently you're meant to rescue them. I never understood the plot. It was an arcade game, I suppose. It's hard to draw a line between the two, but essentially you had to get on this thing and you had to pedal. Yep, that's right. You didn't press forward on an analog stick. You didn't press down on a pedal. You actually had to pedal your freaking head out to fly this machine across the sky, and you had to turn and hit the bubbles, and you could fly up and down and left and right, and you just kept pedaling. And I mean, I loved that. I mean, I loved the idea that this arcade game was actually, you know, making you healthy. I mean, of course, Dance Dance Revolution was to do something kind of similar, but damn it, I mean... Dance Dance Revolution didn't come around for another 10 years. This was back in the mid-90s, and it was just awesome. I mean, you know, just this is how arcade machines could work. I mean, you can't really compete with... It's hard for arcade machines to compete with home consoles, but, like, if you've got something that they can do in an arcade that they can't do in a home console, then what's the problem? And I always really loved that idea. I always loved how it engaged. And I did see it about the place in several different places, but I suppose I wished it could have been a bit more popular... I don't know. I don't suppose anyone will see an arcade machine of those hanging around these days. It's kind of a pity. I'm not going to go into the whole saga of arcades today, but I don't know. When I just looked at that game, I realized, and when I enjoyed playing that game, I just thought about all that arcades could be, and just the fun and the exercise and the challenging you to do something and the way it engaged you in a way that other games didn't, by literally making you work for your points. I don't think any can deny that's a good thing. Right, so. Technically, like I said, that wasn't a bicycle, but it had pedals and you were ultimately a flying machine. And ultimately, since you were actually pedaling in real life, that definitely overrides anything about it not technically being a bicycle. Well, there were games where... I think there was another arcade game where you were doing a bicycle and you did do the pedals, but let's leave that aside for now because I really didn't do enough research to figure that one out either. Sorry, look. I can't research everything, well, like, as much as I would like to. We, my friends, are moving on to the last track. So, this has been a great bicycle-themed episode, so what are we going to move on to last? Well, we've had bicycle cycling in urban environments, cycling to deliver papers, cycling, well, to fly a machine through some mysterious sky in order to restore some nat calamity caused by ancient magic. Now we are going to cycle... through zombies. Yes, Dead Rising, made by Namco, with music Justified, performed by I'll give you the music details later. But Dead Rising, released for the Xbox 360 a few years ago, boy. I mean, this is a game that truly made beating up zombies in a game as fun as it should be. Yes, I know we're back into the old violence. As much as I love the idea of games being art and games except pushing forward the medium and being creative and exploring new territories, sometimes you play a game where you beat up zombies and you enjoy it. And I'm afraid that's just the way it is. I enjoyed beating up zombies in that game. And the great thing about that is the game provided you with so many weapons. The entire game was set in a shopping mall, a shopping center, a mall as Americans call it. And essentially, pretty much... Okay, maybe not everything, but close to everything could be used to beat up the zombies. I mean, this was a thing where you'd walk around and you'd pick up a 6 pan of soft drinks and throw each can at the zombies. You'd throw plates at the zombies. You'd grab knives. You'd grab sporting goods. You'd wail on them with electric guitars. You'd start up lawnmowers. Some of them would be comedic and kind of disturbing. And yes, there's a reason it had an 18s rating. Here's a spoiler alert. One of its levels takes place in a hardware shop. I think we can agree you're not going to find many zombie-friendly implements in a hardware shop. But, of course, there's some of the weapons are pretty interesting. And, of course, in the sporting goods shop, you find a bicycle. Yep, you grab. I mean, you can find skateboards pretty early on, but then you hit into three zombies and the skateboard disappears for some reason. There's this whole thing about how weapons... But you find a bicycle. And this is fun, because you get on the bicycle and you pedal as hard as you can and you slam through the zombies. And you run over zombies and you don't trip up and go flying head over the handlebars as you would in real life if you were cycling through a group of zombies. No, in this fictionalized video game world, they are thrust aside as you cycle, plow right through them from one end of the shopping... Well, you can't really go fully... Can you? But from one end of the shopping corridor to the other. Through all the shops and all the aisles, you just spam down. And you know, the bicycle is actually pretty useful as well, because Dead Rising is a game that you need to get from one point to another usually very quickly. There's almost a time management element, because you got a lot of there are a lot of survivors you got to rescue. Sometimes you'll have to go to one end of the shopping center, rescue survivors and bring them back to the other end, and then you have to go out and rescue more. And basically, you've got a time limit to rescue each group of survivors, so you have to figure out the right order to rescue them in, or else you're kind of screwed. And then, of course, there's a time when a military invades at the shopping center and you've got to plow through them. And there is nothing funnier than having a military troop in full gear, SWAT gear, everything, machine gun, and you just to plow, get on a bicycle and plow right into them at full speed. And apparently they die from the impact, which is kind of disturbing, but, you know, these are highly elite military corps, and on their death certificate, what do they say? He was in a bicycle. A bicycle hit him. He was run over by a bicycle. Okay. Well, actually, bicycles can be sort of dangerous, but I prefer not to relate to you that minor incident I had with the woman with osteoporosis. Please don't let me talk about that. I'm not proud of that myself. Avoid blind corners, put it that way. But, yes, the Dead Rising video game, it was fun. You could cycle bicycles in it, and it had decent music. Some of it was licensed, but this is one of its ending tracks. So, like I said, I like to keep my tracks somewhat balanced. So, while I sometimes begin on intro music, I often end on outro music. This is from the credits from the true ending. It is Justified, performed by Dre Guinness, Sean Lacefield, and Chris Fazier, and composed by them as well, I believe. So, on that note of bicycles, and I'll see you around. This is David Collins with BitNote, asking you all to keep an eye out for a red Lapierre bicycle. And to the person who stole my bike, whatever this song may make you think, no, you are not justified. To everyone else, thank you and goodbye.
up to my